You see, Christianity is a relationship. You can be a Buddhist and not know Buddha. There's just patterns to follow. The only one, which is a real lifestyle, the only way to be a Christian is to know and have a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ himself. You don't need a personal relationship with Buddha or Krishna or any of those other false gods out there. But you must be born from above to be a part of the kingdom of God.
Welcome to Apply Within, a verse-by-verse study of the Word of God with Pastor Bob Davis of North Country Chapel. We invite you to join with us as we, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, apply His Word within our own hearts as we study line upon line, precept upon precept, verse by verse, through the Bible. Nicodemus questions Jesus as our study of John continues in chapter 3, verse 4. Here's Pastor Bob.
It's a heart, not a head full of knowledge. Get it? A lot of people are proud of their brilliance, but you'll still need to humble yourselves, all of us, and receive Jesus by grace through faith alone. Not because your mind says it's logical, because your heart knows it's the truth, which passes your understanding. Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot, or born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus has no idea what Jesus just said or meant. He says this, Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old?" In other words, Nicodemus is probably up in his 80s somewhere, they believe. "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Okay, that's the most bizarre statement you've ever heard in the Bible, isn't it? That's weird, Nick. Well, that's what Jesus said. No, it's nothing like what Jesus just said. Jesus is speaking spiritually, and just like Nicodemus, most of us take it physically. You must be born again. How can I be born again? I'm 80-something years old. What am I going to go back into my mother's womb? That's bizarre. Nick, you're weird. Jesus speaking spiritually, you're thinking physically. He's going to talk to the woman at the well. He's going to say, if you knew who I was asking you for a drink of water, you would ask me for water because the water I would give you, you will never be thirsty ever again as long as you live. He's talking spiritually. She hears it physically and says, give me that stuff. I'm tired of coming out here drawing all this water. It's heavy. So give me that stuff that won't be. And he had to take another route. Why? He's talking spiritually. She's thinking physically. I'll never be thirsty ever. Give me some of that water. You're missing it, Nick. You're missing it, lady. Listen. Nicodemus said in verse 4, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, once again, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Think about it, he says. Think about it. Jesus speaks spiritually. Nicodemus automatically interprets it physically, and it makes no sense to him. We'll tell people scripture from the Bible, and they'll go, "That's a weird verse. I don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me." Because they're thinking naturally, physically, and he's talking spiritually. Out of his, anybody that trusts in him, that truly belongs to get them, filled to Jesus, filled with God's Holy Spirit, out of their belly shall gush, flow rivers of living water. And they go, "That sounds freaky and gross." It's spiritually speaking. Jesus speaks spiritually, Nicodemus thinks physically, and has no clue about what Jesus just said. How can a man be born again when he's old? Well, he can't. Can he enter into his mother's womb a second time? No, he can't. Jesus helps Nick to realize this is spiritual. What I'm saying to you is spiritual, not physical. Water and the Spirit. Look at the fight is on about this water and the Spirit. Many people say he's talking about baptism. Some say, well, he's referring to baptism and then being born again, the Holy Spirit. But not so. He tells you, no, what's born of the flesh is flesh. I'm talking spirit, spirit, spirit. So that water he's talking about is not the water of baptism and not the water of birth. He's talking about something spiritual. And that's easy because there are two things that are referred to as water. The Word of God, washing of the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. So he's talking spiritually still, and some of you might be thinking physically. So you say, that's baptism. No, it got nothing to do with baptism. You can be not born again and be baptized and just be a cleaner sinner. Water is not going to change nothing, right? So he's helping. And he's not referring to anything physical here. Water in the scriptures represents the Word of God. It also represents God's Holy Spirit. And that's what Jesus, I think, is referring to here with Nicodemus. Being born from above through the washing of the water of the Word and the power of God's Holy Spirit. It's all spiritual. It happens spiritually. Physically, when you're born again, remember that day? I remember that day. I had a hard time getting to sleep. I was so excited. I had to get up at O dark 30 in the military. I had to be at muster. I had to be there standing at attention with 1,000 other guys standing in line in uniform. So physically, I was tired. Spiritually, I was born again. Yesterday, I was dead. Today, I'm alive. I just feel really dead because I'm exhausted physically. We don't walk by feeling. We walk by faith. We don't walk by sight, what it feels like or what we see. We walk by faith, right? We forget that. That's what Jesus is talking about to Nicodemus. He's teaching him if Nick will hear it. He's teaching him. So he's not referring to anything physical here. Water in the scriptures, like I said, represents the Word of God, also represents God's Spirit. And that's what he wants Nicodemus to see. Being born from above through the washing of the water of the Word and the power of God's Holy Spirit. And I am convinced here, if you simply read it, Jesus is making it crystal clear when he simply said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Look at verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You can't mix the two. You'll never be born again with something to do with your flesh. Baptism doesn't save you. Being confirmed doesn't save you. Fasting for 1,000 days doesn't save you. Anything you can do physically does not save you. It is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. It's faith by God's grace alone. And that's what Jesus is telling him, being born from above through the Word of God and the power of God's Holy Spirit. Jesus then helps us all to understand spiritual birth. Watch this. Verse 7 says, don't be surprised. Marvel not that I said to you, you must be born again. In other words, you must be born from above, Nick. See, the wind blows where it chooses to, where it wants, and you hear the sound thereof, but you cannot tell for whence it's coming and where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Did you hear that? So is everyone. It's the same way being born in the Spirit. Now he's helping us, physical beings here, grasp what it means spiritually. Him, Nick, and me and you. To help us understand, listen closely. And this makes so much sense. Jesus is so cool because he uses things that every one of us says, that's easy, you're right. That's so easy. Listen, to understand spiritual birth, he says, the wind blows where it goes. Wherever the wind chooses to blow, it does. Notice that? You can look outside and you can't, can you see the wind when it blows? Nobody sees the wind, do you? Do this. If you do, call me. The wind blows where it will. You can't see it, but what can you see? The effects of it. True? When the wind is blowing hard, part of my fence went down. I didn't see the wind, but I saw the fence go away. I saw the effects of it, didn't I? Think about it. That's just like the Spirit when we're born again. Put two and two together, should come out to somewhere close to 4.5, right? You can't see the spiritual birth, but you see the results of it, don't you? And you can see the effects. Can't see the wind, can't see the Holy Spirit, but you see the effects of the Holy Spirit in the lives of people. You see the effects of the lives of the apostles. Watch them as we walk day by day. They're growing up. Mr. McDonald writes, I'll paraphrase, and I throw in some of my own words. The spiritual birth takes place according to the will of God, right? It's spiritual. So I have no control of it. Being born again from above, God has to do that, God the Holy Spirit. It is not the power of man which holds spiritual birth in his own control. And secondly, the new birth is invisible. You can't see it. You can see the results of it. Make sense? And Jesus is so simple here that it's hard to misunderstand him, yet people do. They twist this all kinds of ways. You cannot see it taking place, but you can see the results of it in a person's life, a man's or a woman's life. When a man has been saved, a change comes over him. When a woman has been saved, they change. Maybe not overnight, but some things happen even overnight. You can see people in the military, when I received the Lord, the next morning, guys that I ran around with said, man, you're different today. What is it with you? Did you stay up too late or something? I got saved. They're going, oh, no. Are you a Bible thumper? I didn't know what that was. I go, I don't know. That's people who read their Bible. Yeah, then I'm one. I read something this morning. What'd you read? I don't know. I couldn't even understand what it said. Thouth and youth, and I read it. When a man has been saved or woman has been saved, a change comes over them. The evil things which they formerly loved, they now hate it. Even though if they're doing it, like Paul says, man, I'm doing things and this, it's the sin in me and I hate that. The things I don't want to do, I end up doing and I hate that, he says. That's because he belongs to the Lord and he's struggling in his own life. Some of you do and the others do too. They just don't talk about it. Everyone, we've got our old nature and our new nature, and they sure do argue, don't they? That's what he's saying here. The evil things which we formerly loved, we want to get away from that. We don't want to do that anymore. We hope that we tell our friends, don't keep trying to drag me into that, man. I'm trying to get away from that. I'm trying to stay away from that stuff. The things of God which we formerly despised and mocked and laughed at. I don't want to go to church. I'm not going to read. Who reads their Bible? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go to a prayer meeting. And now we're going, yeah, I got to go to church. You go to church on a Friday night? Yeah, we do. Come on and join with us. They go, you guys are so weird. Notice, though, there's a change happening. Things of God which we formerly laughed at and despised, these things are now the very things we want to do. We want to grow. We want to read a Bible. We want to learn more. It's hard to understand, and so sometimes you read it over and over. But have you noticed it in your own heart? That's what Jesus is telling Nick. Look at verse 9. Nicodemus answered, and he said unto him, how can these things be? Let me say in American. You're talking gibberish, Jesus. I don't understand. I do not understand. How can it be? I want to know, but somehow my pea brain isn't getting. Now, this is a brilliant man. How can these things be? But he's not saying, you're crazy. I don't believe it. Here's what he's saying. I don't understand it, but I want to. Help me here. Nick is learning that the human mind really can't comprehend the things that are spiritually discerned. That's why you're, have you ever caught yourself wondering why everybody doesn't want Jesus? I mean, I've walked with Jesus. I remember, I'm telling people of Jesus, they say, no thanks, I don't want that. And you're going, how could they turn this down? What can't they see? And the answer is, no, they can't. They don't understand. And that's the way you were until you came to a saving knowledge. You didn't get it either. Nick is saying, I don't get it, because that human mind cannot comprehend these things. They are spiritually discerned. That's what Jesus is trying to tell him. So Jesus does this. Watch. Jesus answered and said to him, verse 10, are you a master of Israel? You're one of the premier, foremost teachers of Israel, and you don't know these things? Truly, I say unto you, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. Why? You can't comprehend it. If I told you earthly things and you don't grasp it, believe it, how shall you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? There's even bigger things we want to talk about. You got to get this first, Nick, and we'll go on from there. It's kind of like you got to learn your ABCs. Then we'll put some together and make words out of them. Step by step, line upon line, precept upon precept. He goes, Nick, one of the foremost teachers, and you're not getting this. No man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Wow. Jesus says, Nick, you're one of the foremost, one of the premier teachers in all of Israel, and you're not grasping these things. So here's what Jesus is going to do. He doesn't say, I give up. Now, I thought you were smarter than this. He's going to use the Old Testament. He's going to use the Word of God to help Nicodemus grasp what he's talking about. People say, there's nothing in the Old Testament for me. Christians say that. Yes, there is. We get all kinds of lessons when we go to the Old Testament. And Paul writes, they were written for examples to us. We can learn. Christian, read your Bible, Genesis 1:1, Revelation 22:21. Don't just read your favorite parts only, although read those, they're good. Read the whole Word of God. We need the entire counsel of God. Don't leave parts out because they don't make a lot of sense to you. Read through. And you're amazed at what God will teach you. Jesus is going to use the Old Testament, which Nicodemus is familiar with, to help him grasp and comprehend these things. I'm telling you truths, and you're not understanding. And the truth is, Nicodemus wants to. But you remember the Pharisees. Jesus says, you're not understanding because you refuse to understand. Some people don't get it because they just don't want to hear it. They don't want to get it. Don't let that be me and you. He said, if you don't even grasp these earthly things, you're not going to grasp the heavenly things, Nick. Then Jesus tells him a shocker. Here's the shocker. No man has ascended up to heaven. He's talking about ascending on their own power. But one has come down from heaven, ascended to heaven and come down. He is God Almighty in human flesh. He came down. He's referring to himself. He can speak with authority here about things up there because that's where he comes from. None of us do. So verse 14, Jesus shows him exactly how being born again spiritually works. And he uses the Old Testament. Impressive, wouldn't you say? We should be doing the same thing. Use the Word of God to show people what God is talking about, to show them how it fits, how it's all put together. So, verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Just like it happened in the Old Testament, in the way back there in Numbers, it's got to happen here, and it's going to happen to me, Jesus is saying. He helps Nick understand by using God's word. So let's all turn back to the Old Testament, Numbers chapter 21. I'm only going to read to you verses 4-9. You've heard them many times, but still, let's read them together. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to surround the land or compass, go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Verse 5, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no food, neither is there any water. And our soul hates that bread from heaven. You know, that manna? We hate that stuff. Bad thing to say. Verse 6, and the Lord sent fiery serpents. In other words, very poisonous serpents among the people. And they bit the people. And many people of Israel died. Imagine if poisonous snakes were turned loose every time you and me complained. We would be snakes all over, wouldn't there? In our cars, in our homes, or up and down the street, full of snakes. Well, that's what it was. Whole campus full of snakes. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take the serpents away. And Moses prayed for the people, and God did not take the serpents away. I added that part, because he didn't. Watch. Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, you make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. Make a copy of the serpents. He made that brass serpent, put it on a pole. And it shall come to pass, everyone that is bitten, when he looks upon that serpent on the pole, shall live. What do they have to do? Just look at it. You don't have to, when you get bit, you don't have to crawl over and touch it. You don't have to kiss it. You don't have to drag yourself over and make somebody pray for you with it. You just turn from wherever you're at and look to that raised up serpent on the pole. God, they said, ask God to take the snakes away. And God, Moses said, please, God, take the snakes away. And God says, no, I got a better idea. What is it? Let's keep the snakes here and let them keep biting people. What? Yeah. But make us something that looks identical to the snake. Put it up on the pole high. And everybody that gets bit, just if they will look at it, they won't die. What does it take to look at the snake? You don't even have to move your body. If your head's in the right position, you could just move your eyes. True? What does it take, though? Faith. How are we saved? By God's grace, through faith. We don't have to flip ourselves over and get close and kiss his feet, because Jesus is the type of that serpent is the type of Jesus who will hang on that cross. And what do we look to? Jesus Christ on the cross. If you will look in faith, your sins are washed away. Faith. That's why God didn't take the snakes away. That's what happened. So, and Moses made a serpent of brass, put it on a pole. Came to pass, if a serpent bit any individual, man, woman, or child, when he looked at the serpent of brass, he lived. It was faith. That's what he was teaching all of us. He's still teaching us that. That's what he's teaching Nicodemus. Jesus chose this Old Testament incident to show Nick and all the rest of us how the new birth actually takes place. How much of the work is mine in my salvation? None. How much is yours? None. So none of us could boast at all about anything. He sought me and he bought me. What did you do? I turned to the Lord and cried out to Jesus and surrendered my heart. Faith. I looked to Jesus Christ on that cross, shedding his blood for my sin. So I had to admit, I've been bitten. We all have the sin. All mankind, men and women, have been bitten by the poison viper called sin. Everyone is poisoned, and we're condemned to eternal separation and death. The serpent of brass was a picture of Jesus Christ on the cross. And he gave it to us way back there in Numbers, where people say, I hate reading the books of the law. They're so confusing and so boring and so repetitive. And you missed the serpent in the wilderness. You missed all kinds of types if you're skipping over and not reading that. Serpent of brass, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible, and it speaks of judgment. The sin is in there. The poison is in there. And the only way to get it was to look to the sinless one. Notice the serpent on the pole was made of brass. It looked just like the serpents, but it didn't have any poison in it. Jesus, God Almighty, became flesh. So he looks just like all the rest of us, but he doesn't have the poison in him. There is no sin. He is God Almighty. So we look to him, and the power of his shed blood, by faith, we're washed clean. So none of us brags how we did it. We just brag how he did it. The Lord was sinless and should never have been punished. True? But he took our place. He bore the judgment which we deserved. The pole speaks of the cross at Calvary on which the Lord Jesus was lifted up. We are saved by looking to Jesus in faith. It's spiritual. It's not a physical thing at all. Surrendering our hearts to Jesus Christ. You don't have to get out of your seat. You don't have to roll anywhere, kiss anybody's feet, kiss anybody's ring or anything. It is faith and faith alone.
Thank you for listening to Apply Within with Pastor Bob Davis. Apply Within is a radio outreach ministry of North Country Chapel. Our Sunday morning Bible studies are at 9 and 11 a.m. We also have a Friday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. and a Monday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. You can download today's message in its entirety at northcountrychapel.com/studies. That's northcountrychapel.com/studies. If you would like a copy of today's message, write to us and ask for the message with today's date. The address is Apply Within, 2281 West Celtice, Post Falls, Idaho, 83854. Or call us at 1-800-572-8851. That number again, 1-800-572-8851. Our mobile app is available for iPhone and Android. Download it to listen to full-length studies, watch the live stream of our services, or to find out more about church events. If you have been blessed by the teaching or have prayer requests that you would like to share with us, write, email, or call us as well. Please join with us every Monday through Friday as we study together verse by verse on Apply Within, sponsored by North Country Chapel.